Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. Here are this week's scripture readings and the sermon.
A reading from Ezekiel chapter 2. A voice said to me, O mortal, stand up on your feet, and I will speak with you. And when he spoke to me, a spirit entered into me and set me on my feet, and I heard him speaking to me. He said to me, Mortal, I am sending you to the people of Israel, to a nation of rebels who have rebelled against me. They and their ancestors have transgressed against me to this very day. The descendants are impotent and stubborn. I am sending you to them, and you shall say to them, Thus says the Lord God, whether they hear or refuse to hear, for they are a rebellious house, they shall know that there has been a prophet among them. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us read Psalm 123 responsively. To you I lift up my eyes, to you enthroned in the heavens.
As the eyes of the servants look to the hand of the masters, and the eyes of the maid to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to you, O Lord our God, until you show your mercy.
Have mercy upon us, O Lord, have mercy, for we have had more than enough of contempt.
Too much of the scorn of the indolent rich, and of the derision of the proud.
Second reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I know a person in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. I know that such a person, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. Was caught up into paradise and heard things that are not to be told, that no mortal is permitted to repeat. On behalf of such a one, I will boast, but on my own behalf, I will not boast, except of my weaknesses. But if I wish to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will be speaking the truth. But I refrain from it, so that no one may think better of me than what is seen in me or heard from me, even considering the exceptional character of the revelations. Therefore, to keep me from being too elated, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from being too elated. Three times I appealed to the Lord about this, that it would leave me. But he said to me, My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. So I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities for the sake of Christ. For whenever I am weak, then I am strong. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus came to his hometown and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary and brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. Then Jesus said to them, Prophets are not without honor except in their hometown and among their own kin and in their own house. And he could do no deed of power there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Then he went about among the villages teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. He said to them, "Wherever you go, wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you, as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed all that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Today's gospel reading comes in two episodes. With these two events, the church hears also two realities. On one side, Jesus visits his hometown and begins teaching in the synagogue. Those who are gathered are astounded by what they hear. They recall his social and familial location, a carpenter, son of Mary, brother of, and so on. Finally, they cannot believe Jesus has the authority to say and do what he is doing in their midst. The story suggests that precisely because they do not believe, Jesus is unable to do what he normally has been doing. Although he does accomplish some healing. On the other side, Jesus goes into the surrounding villages. More so, he amplifies his ministry by calling and sending out the inner circle of disciples two by two. He gives them authority over unclean spirits. He gives them instructions about how they are to enter into communities, into households. Indeed, if the disciples are not received, they are to move on. Truly, the disciples go out and do amazing ministry. In these events, there appears a relationship between those who exercise authority in the name of the reign of God, Jesus and his disciples, and those who receive that ministry. To be sure, Jesus and his disciples believe they have the authority to do what they need to do. Jesus has demonstrated that authority as he has traveled throughout the region, teaching and preaching and healing and caring for people. Even when he is too tired to keep going, the crowds press in and he continues his ministry. The disciples have a little patchier history. Sometimes they seem to understand what they are witnessing and what they are participating in. Other times, the author of the gospel portrays them as pretty clueless. When I was in the candidacy process that leads to ordination as a pastor, I responded to one of the questions about my sense of call to ministry by saying that I really don't feel worthy of this role and responsibility. The deacon who had asked the question looked at me and said, "David, none of us are worthy. God declares worthiness. What disciples of Jesus Christ can accomplish comes not from their own will or their own worthiness. It comes from God's call and God's empowerment. God chooses to deputize each one of us through the waters of baptism into ministry that seeks to bring good news to the world, that seeks toward reconciliation, that announces God's freedom from sin through Jesus Christ. It is a high honor and a great responsibility. Different people in the body of Christ have different skills and gifts and roles, but the end purpose is the same, to announce and embody the good news of Jesus Christ, the reign of God come near, new life. Martin Luther reminds us that God's reign comes without our bidding. Indeed, God has that kind of authority. But we pray that this kingdom, this reign, become so much a part of who we are and how we work. In word and deed, may the faithful be bearers of God's love and grace and forgiveness. On the other hand, these episodes also suggest that there is a role for reception. Several years ago, I was part of the Christian Unity Issues Committee for Tulsa Metropolitan Ministries. Interestingly, when Tulsa Metropolitan Ministries became an interfaith organization, it was the newly elected Jewish president who said, "You know, you Christians need to kind of figure out how to play well together. Why don't you have a committee?" One of the members of that committee, when I was a part of it, was a Disciples of Christ pastor who had served on the commission that brought forth a World Council of Churches document called Baptism, Eucharist, and Ministry. As the group's discussion concluded, my colleague noted that the value of the document, at least in the World Council of Churches, and then he posited, even in all of our denominations, is not in the statement itself. Rather, the proof is in the adoption at the local level. The question is how the people at the local level receive and embody what the statement offers. I find his words to be true on many levels. The Evangelical Lutheran Church in America has entered many full communion relationships with other denominations, yet often at the local level, congregations do not intentionally explore how those relationships can expand and strengthen shared ministry. The ELCA has offered over the course of 30 years many teaching statements on various issues. Sometimes people argue about those issues and those statements. What I find is that often those arguments are grounded not in reading the statement, but on what people believe the statement says or should say. In short, the statement is not received at the local level. And when a presiding bishop or a synod bishop or even a local pastor speaks publicly using the statement as ground for public proclamation, the backlash often comes in the form of, "Where does this one get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to them?" Reception matters. Even for the community where Jesus grew up, they did not receive him as having authority and as holding divine power over creation. Land and sea, wind and storm. We heard about that a couple of weeks ago. Unclean spirits, health, forgiveness. The cost to them, but not to Jesus, is that their unbelief stunted his ability to do deeds of power. Today, this nation celebrates Independence Day. It is a time when there is much talk of freedom. There are ways in which these national celebrations can both, well, highlight that which is outstanding in this nation and also bring to fore ways in which this nation struggles to live up to its own ideals. The founders intended to ensure that all religions have freedom of expression granted under the Constitution. That means Muslims and Jews and all those others. And yet the government has perpetrated any number of atrocities against indigenous people, against Africans who were imported to be slaves, against whole swaths of the population. There are ways in which the principles held forth have been spoken, but not quite received at the local and individual level. I pray that this church may be a place that proclaims the freedom that is grounded in God's love for all people. I pray that this church receives God's word in a way that brings healing and wholeness and well-being and propels each one who gathers in the name of Jesus out into the world with this astounding good news. In the name of Jesus, who sends us.
Thank you for listening. You are welcome to join St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri for worship any weekend. More information can be found at saintandrewslutheran.org. That's saintandrewslutheran.org. Have a glorious week.